listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci here on a Therapy Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Of course, you can reach us at 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. Want to remind you to stay connected to the Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more. You can visit clevelandbrowns.com, download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
And don't want to forget, tomorrow, yours truly will be at the PNC Bank in
Strongsville. You're leaving me again?
I'm leaving you for one. This is, the third time. I got one more after this, so two more times.
All right.
So Strongsville, I know.
We're in the home stretch.
We're in the home stretch. Yours truly will be out there. Nathan will be here in studio. The show will be as it is, 1 to 3 p.m., but I'll be broadcasting from the PNC Bank, again, Strongsville, tailgate. From 1:30 to 2:30, Devon Best, Browns wide receiver, will be there. He'll be on the show in that window, on this show in that window. And then from 5 to 6 p.m., Jordan Cameron will be on hand, like Devon Best, signing autographs, posing for pictures. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. There's interactive stuff going on at these tailgate parties, food, beverages, you name it, chomps. I mean, it's great to bring the family out and enjoy it. So join us tomorrow, again, starting from 1 p.m. till 6 p.m. at the Strongsville PNC Bank. Okay.
I like that. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines now. Let's go out to California. Steve in Los Angeles, welcome to CBD.
Hey, how you doing there?
Good. How are you?
All right. I've got a couple of questions for you. One of them is, why is Greg Little still a part of the Browns organization? Why is he still on the squad? I don't get it.
I don't know that what he's done, and listen, Rob Chudzinski said in a press conference today that any discipline will be handled in-house, and I'm not sure, you know, how far the discipline has to go. Greg Little, the person, it sounds like off the field, has some growing up to do, certainly needs to maybe get a chauffeur or something for driving situations, but an issue just as big to me is what he's doing on the field, or more importantly, what he's not doing on the field, which is being productive.
You know, I think the two... Yeah, and again, we thank you for the call, Steve. I think the two areas overlap, on and off the field, because I think there's an off-the-field focus that bleeds to on-field, and I don't like it. I don't like the pattern, and I think this team will show some level of discipline with that by disciplining him. What is that discipline going to be? I won't speculate on that, but I'm firmly of the belief that something is going to happen with Greg Little today, and we'll see what the team announces on that. But there has to be a show. There has to be some level of demonstrating not only to Greg Little but to the entire team and to all of us following this team that there is no tolerance for this repeat sort of behavior that jeopardizes, obviously, the player's own safety and safety of others, and then the availability of him to this team, and that things you have enough off-field transgressions, it impacts your availability. Now, right now, watching that guy drop as many passes as he has, I don't know how many fans are eager to see him get back on the field and play, but something is going, I think, has to give and is going to give very soon with him.
Yeah, I think it's got to. And you know, it's one of those situations where I know it's not ideal to say, but I'm sure it's the fact of the matter in many sports organizations. If you're delivering, you're going to be, you know, things, you'll be given help. You'll be able to kind of overcome such obstacles. But when you're playing the way that Greg Little's playing, which is terrible right now, you know, the drops you talked about, at least three, maybe four, he's having a horrendous season. And it was a time in two games where I thought he had an opportunity to showcase and say, listen, I can be the man. I can be the man. I can do Anquan Boldin type of things even without somebody else to free things up for me. And that, if you wanted to get a grade on that from my standpoint, it's an F right now. And you add that on top of these off-the-field issues, and, yeah, something's going to happen with Greg Little. And you know, at some point he's going to have to decide whether or not he wants to change his behavior and avoid these situations.
Without a doubt. Let's go to Akron and say hi to Michael in Akron. Hey, Michael.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I would be better if it was a W.
Yeah, me too.
I have a couple questions and then a comment. The first one's going to be a comment about Little. I don't know what they're going to do with him going forward, but maybe they need to throw the ball 3 feet above his head every time because he made a beautiful catch yesterday.
He did make a beautiful catch, but he did not do.
That.
He did not. He also had a few drops.
Yeah, I think the drops are overshadowing the beauty of a reception. But I
remember Braylon Edwards used to drop passes but make spectacular catches. I also remember Braylon Edwards had a season with 16 touchdowns. So
that's Michael, and to your point too, I think what's really hurting a team that puts its emphasis, and I asked, that's why I wanted Rob Chudzinski to answer the question about, and he did, about whether or not you got to tailor your offense to be in line with what your strength is right now, and that is your defense. And in truth, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination he wants to have a pull in your horns approach to things, right? Philosophically, he believes, North Turner believes, you do go after yards and chunks, you do make big plays. I think, however, this team is clearly held back by the inability for their skill people to deliver those kinds of plays. Maybe that changes when Josh Gordon's there. God, you hope it does, because that's really the only place you look to for that change to occur. But otherwise, you know, can a quarterback, could Brandon Whedon prior to that injury in the two games he's played, or two plus one game that he played, not quite a full one, allow him to, does he have that skill set to find those plays, make those plays, under duress, whatever it takes, you've got to deliver those. You brought up Ben Roethlisberger's name. Now, Ben is kind of a unique talent. There is really not another guy that does what he does in this league, and you can't
extending plays.
You can't make a manual that says do it this way because no coach would you know, those are all, there's a lot of flaws in that game. But the extension of plays and the ability to keep looking downfield, find them, and then deliver them, physically be able to deliver them. As big an arm as Brandon has, you would want to think that even if he's moving a little bit to his left or to his right, seeing things, being more open with choices, that arm would allow him to make a throw that other quarterbacks can't make to make a big play, given hopefully the receiver's second or third opportunity to separate.
And you remember we talked in the offseason and we're throwing out the numbers. You know, last year the Browns only threw the ball more than 10 yards in the air 27% of the time. Norv Turner had historically been over 40%. Rob Chudzinski over 40%. I just looked at the numbers through the first two games. 29% of the passes have gone more than 10 yards in the air. So this is, they're not running the offense they want to. So I don't know if some of it is the concern, maybe ringing it in. Some of it is probably half the time that they call these plays to go down the field, he's
not
sacked.
Yeah, I was going to say that they're not happening.
Happening. Yeah. And you don't have Josh Gordon, who quite frankly is the only guy on your team qualified to run these routes. So it's a very tough situation for this offense. And I'm sure there is a lot of frustration amongst the coaches knowing what they want to do and knowing that right now some personnel is not allowing them to do what they want to do.
All right, so let's go here. Let's go to this place now. There's this place I want to go right now.
I want to go. Can I come?
You're along for this ride. You have to be along this for this. Brandon Whedon, let's say, is out for multiple games. Let's use this is all for the sake of conversation. I am not revealing something that hasn't been
announced
or whatever.
News is not being broken right now.
So let's work on a premise that it's a 4-week deal that he's not able to play. Does that in any way influence how the organizational view of him goes? Does the organization take into account that he didn't get to play a quarter of the season, possibly, to decide what he is or isn't all about, what its next move at quarterback? I don't think it does. I think this organization already knows what it has or doesn't have in Brandon Whedon and is already looking toward who his replacement would be from this next year's draft. What do you think?
Totally agree. I totally agree. I think that he maybe had an opportunity, and I've said that I don't feel that it is completely fair to judge him without Josh Gordon on the field. But listen, you got to play. You got to dance with you got to dance with what brung you in. Right now, I think he had an opportunity to maybe make a statement in the first two games, and I don't think he made that statement. Because to me, it's not enough for him to be competent. I think for him to get the pass that you're talking about, to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns in 2014, he was going to have to change the preconceived notions of people in power here. And I don't think that he's done that, and I don't think it's going to happen, especially if he misses a month. I don't think it's going to happen over the final 10 games of the year. I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't either. All right.
And you think about it, and think about this. Unfortunately for him, I think, and I'll say this, if Brandon Whedon was a second-year quarterback who was 23 years old, I think it's a different conversation. I think these people are much more willing to work with him and to see if he can become
the guy.
They'd
view him in a different light. They'd see the project that he would be at that age or whatever.
But he's not.
But he isn't. And the reality is other people are moving on with their second-year quarterbacks in positive ways. Ryan Tannehill had a nice game yesterday.
Ryan Tannehill's good.
Ryan Tannehill had a nice game against the Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis
Colts.
Went
up there and beat them. They're 2-0 on the road.
That's big time. I mean,
yeah.
That's a big-time thing, and not that it should change the opinion that I have that the Browns still should have been able to win that opener, but
he's
that aside, he's playing well, and second-year quarterbacks are doing their thing, and that can't be ignored either, even if they're different talent levels, but they're also younger talents, and you're right about that. So these are hard. This is going to be, I think, challenging and difficult to identify, you know, who that right guy is, and then you're in a program where you've built your defense up. I mean, the only positive here, I guess, Nathan, is if you really love what this defense is and believe, as I do, as you do, that it can carry you sustainably, can carry you over multiple seasons of playing at a top level and then get augmented in the back end, that you can buy more time for, because the next quarterback you bring in will be a young rookie, will be learning, and he might not necessarily be as good as anybody in the amazing class of 2012 quarterbacks. He just might not.
He might not be, but
might be normal and need a little time to develop. You know,
I think that it is certainly feasible, though, that it will be better, and I think it will be more exciting, and I think that you have, at least you know, with that young guy, let's take the Buffalo Bills right now with E.J. Manuel. Is E.J. Manuel completely refined yet? No, but he's shown some moxie. He just won a game in Buffalo, and I'm sure that you know that your folks in Buffalo are probably pretty excited about the moxie he's shown and the competitiveness he's shown and the clutch meter that he's shown.